Yo, Tribe, this is part two of our, or maybe it's 2.5, of our Way of the Superior Man episode. You know, we had real fun with this episode, but please make sure y'all catch the first part to this for whatever we released last week. Dope episode, though. Hope y'all enjoy. All right, peace.
This question is hard because a lot of times women refuse to admit that when their man is crying and shit, that they think that they, in their minds, like, he's a bitch ass nigga. And here's the thing, right? And because they're all women, there's a lot of women think like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you a man. Yo, shake that shit off. Stop fucking crying. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times women want to say that to men because it's unnatural for the man to be walking around crying. You think women don't think that? You wild, son. They think that a lot. And they don't like to say that they think it, but they do. No. You know what I'm saying? When a dude is crying all crazy.
Let him finish.
Well, with a woman.
Let him cook.
No. I was going to agree with him to a certain extent.
Women get tired of, like, yo, bro, shut the fuck up. You a guy. Like, stop crying. You know what I'm saying?
So, Shaq, answer the question. How long would you allow your partner to do before you start getting concerned?
The Sophisticatedly Ratchet Podcast is a roundtable, conversational podcast that gives a voice to the Black experience.
Millennials from New York City, sharing our views on Black lifestyle, culture, relationships, religion, and current events.
Here at SR, we strive to give our listeners the real in the world of fake.
Worldly professionals with class that also know how to switch it up.
Now let's talk our wild shit.
Actually, I was going to play that the other day. It's Adina Howard. I will be a freak until the day to the early morning. And we can pump.
That's my shit.
Early morning. Yeah. I got my t-shirt and my panties on.
Yo.
Song used to be so sexy. BET
Uncut.
Let's go.
You got your burner cards?
Yeah. We got it. Let's go. Oh,
sweet. All right.
Burn a car, got to burn a phone.
So, last quotable moment that I'm discussing for this episode. Let's see. Yeah. Let me pick that a good quick. One.
That quick.
You know what? Nah, this is a good one, but I think we can knock this one
Such
out.
An ephemeral episode. Jeez.
Ephemeral. I'm going to give it to you.
Ephemeral.
Ephemeral.
She said it wrong again. And she said it wrong again. Ephemeral.
No, I'm giving it to her. She shook her titties earlier. I'm giving her a point.
I mean, the conversation was so good. It feels like it was ephemeral, but I guess it wasn't.
It's a cool down to do. It's a cool down.
All right. There we go.
Can I get a ding? No. I tried three times.
Quote a ding.
One of them going to count. One of them going to count.
All right, so the next quotable moment is...
Giving myself a point, fuck y'all.
this actual moment is in part four of the book, and it's called What Women Really Want, right?
Ooh.
And he says, choose a woman who chooses you, okay? Mm. He says, if your friends honestly tell you that this woman doesn't want to be with you, it's over. You can't enjoy a good relationship with her, even if she changes her mind. Of course, you must discriminate between whether she is playing hard to get or whether she is genuinely less interested in a relationship than you. This is why you should ask your friends and even her friends. Do you agree or disagree with the author?
I agree.
Why?
Oh, put your card up, ho.
You know, there you go. Hold on.
You know what game this is?
These burner questions, though.
That's on game. Ooh, TJ coming out the gate hot. Ooh.
Is it unanimous, Mo? What you saying? Is it unanimous? Yet. Almost.
I'm a struggle.
Let's see what Mo says. She always struggles. You always struggle.
Based on, because I was, no, because let me tell you, if I'm just reading the question, but as you read on, that's what's making me, but I'm
the context of the, yeah. Go up for the question. I agree.
All right, so it's unanimous. Yeah. Everybody got yes for sure. Mo, go first. Why? Why you say yes?
I think it's both ways. Choose a woman who chooses you. Yes, I agree. Choose a person who wants to be with you. Same thing. Choose a man who chooses you. You know what I mean? That's what they want.
Nah, we're not gonna flip that.
No.
But I'm going finish.
I'm just saying, I agree. Choose a woman who chooses you and choose a man who chooses you. But back to this particular question here. Choose a woman who chooses you. Yes, I agree with that. But I'm also saying so in this context, because the woman may choose you, but do you necessarily choose her? You see, but based on, you know, because she may choose you, but you may not choose her. But based on this, I would say choose a woman who chooses you. Yes. Right quick.
All right, so let me give you a chance to gather your thoughts real quick. All right. As far as with this question right here, I feel like in this world, there's fuckboys, but there's also fuck girls. Okay. And men have to learn to recognize shit like that. They have to recognize women who don't want to be in a relationship. They have to recognize if they say this, that this is what, that I don't want this, or they give you that vibe that they don't want this, you have to accept that. And you got to stop pushing. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what happens with women a lot of times when they're dealing with fuck boys, right? The fuck boys will tell you they don't want to be in a relationship. They just chilling right now. They're not really trying to move forward in this. They're just here, you know, for the moment. And women don't believe that shit sometimes. Sometimes they take that shit and say, you know what? Maybe that's how he feels right now. Maybe he'll change. Maybe, you know, in the future, he's going to want to be in this relationship. And just like that, with the fuck girls, they're the same exact way. You know what I'm saying? If you can tell that you want to be in this relationship, if you can tell that she chose a man that loves her more than she loves him, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You need to step away from that and just look and see your self-value and see that you deserve something else. And if she doesn't want to be in a relationship with you, you got to find something else. And I say the same thing for women. It goes both ways.
I agree with that. 100%. Go ahead, Flash.
No. All right. Well, I'll just say I definitely agree with this, and it definitely should be. Yeah, the woman should be choosing a man, and a man should be operating very heavily on if he's being chosen. I say that to say, like, women will put you in danger. Women, especially when we're talking about like the feminine women, women are okay with putting you in danger. They're okay with putting you in trouble, especially if it is a means for, I don't want to say their survival, but yes, it is. They want you to prioritize certain things about their life or them existing well. And I'm fine with that when you live.
Give me an example of that.
Yo, TJ, get out of my head, bro.
We all want to know.
Yeah.
How you walk on outside of the street. Know
that
too.
Tribe, that was for you.
No. I'm going to tell you why. Because let's say you're walking down an alley. Think Batman vibes, okay? You know? Mm-hmm. And you're walking down the alley. You got the little kid. You got your wife. I don't even know why the fuck you walking down this dark alley with pearls and millions of dollars of jewels on and shit. But anyway, we walking down the alley and a man comes out with a fucking, you know, little knife or whatnot. He's about to shank one of us or whatnot. You expect me to make sure I jump in front of this man or whatever, or be the first force that should even be felt as far as protection. And what this means is that I know I'm going to have to put my life on the line for my woman, especially if this is a woman I love, because I want to protect the things that I love. That's just part of, you know, maybe how I think or whatnot. I wouldn't expect my woman or my child to you know, go forth while I call for help.
Move, Dad. I've got this. Step to the side, nigga.
if I see a pit bull coming or whatever the case is, and I know I love my woman, I can sacrifice an arm. I can sacrifice a leg. There's certain things that I'm willing to sacrifice for a woman I love, just to be honest. So for the fact that, how the fuck can I be with a woman that don't fucking choose me? You Oof. Got me fucked Oof. Up. If you think I want to be with a woman that doesn't choose me, you tripping, because guess what? At any moment, I may have to put my life, sacrifice my life for you. And I don't think women necessarily think that way, in the sense of I'm ready to throw myself, you know, in front of danger for just to make sure he's okay. No, I believe, and this is just my thought, it could be a flashback, whatever the fuck. This is probably a shake fact though, but I feel like women want to be protected by a stronger force, just to be honest. And that has to sometimes be your man. And so you want him to live in that masculine nature. So if you ain't choosing me and I'm supposed to be all these other type of forces for you, especially physically, fuck out of here if you're not choosing me. That's how I feel.
Co-sign all of that. I co-sign all of that, mm-hmm. Flash. I want to just jump on that bandwagon and just say, the nerve. How could you not choose me? Like, right. I feel like in this instance, when I think about a woman who doesn't choose you, like, she's treating you like a sucker. Like, you know, like, you know.
In what ways?
Okay. I think about people who go on those game shows. Like love, like those dating shows, and they put their relationship at risk. I'd be like,
oh, okay, like Ultimatum, yeah, and shit like that. Okay.
Shit like that. Yeah, like
I watched that.
What? Like, I want you to know that I'm that nigga. Like, you need to know that this is the best place to be. Like, you need to know that. You know what I mean? So really? That's why I could never be down for no shit like that. Cause I think that I need to know that you want me. And if my man's come to me and tell me that he's with a shorty and he's tricking all crazy on her and she's disrespecting him. Like, flat out just calling him wild names in public. I mean, abusing him all crazy, verbally, emotionally, physically. But her mm-hmm. box is crazy. Like, her box is crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell him, you got to let that go, bro. You got to let that mm-hmm. That's toxic, bro. You got to let that go.
Hurt you.
She don't want you, bro. She's using right. you. And that's what I think of when I see mm-hmm. choose a woman who chooses you. That's facts. What comes to
make,
mind for me.
Make that relationship right. ephemeral. You know what I mean?
That's a fact. Mm-hmm. Ding that man. Ding that man. Ding yeah. that man.
But yeah, and, you know, to that point too, Master, yeah, certain, I felt like I've told, you know, especially like if it's a closer friend of mine, like, I'm okay with being honest in terms of telling him, like, yo, I don't think she's for you or whatever the case, especially when you see maybe mm-hmm. how she treats him or how reckless she can be with his life, especially. And I'm sitting here like, well, if he fucking with her like that, he don't mind, you know, right. sacrificing that right. shit. This is why I'm just sitting here like, how much trouble?
It depends on how much you care about the person.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true. So yeah, I look at all of that shit though, man.
You know, mm-hmm. I love going last because I get to hear what everybody said, and I agree with almost everybody. I do feel like you should choose someone that chooses you, but I think from hearing the men's perspective, it's like you guys don't want to be made a fool out of, right? And so sometimes mm-hmm. your friend could tell you, but you don't hear it, right? You have to really open up that third eye chakra. You know, I'm gonna talk about the chakras, but open up mm-hmm. that discernment, right? Open up whatever you're feeling, because sometimes when you know when somebody not doing you right, and like to Shake's point, there's a lot of fuck girls and there's a lot of fuck guys mm-hmm. out there, and they're gonna mm-hmm. try to do you dirty. So you don't want to choose someone that chooses you, and in which way are they choosing you? Yeah, maybe they're your girlfriend or your boyfriend, but they still not doing you right in all types of ways. There's something in your spirit that's not sitting right. And that's where you have to use your discernment. Like, nah, I'm not going to choose this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait for your friend to tell you that, right? Because there's a lot of people that will say that they choose you and then they've been cheating on you for forever. Mm. Like, did you really choose me? Am I really chosen? You know right. what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. So we have to really trust our gut, trust our discernment.
You chose your love.
No, we have to trust our gut, trust our discernment, and in what ways that you value someone choosing you. Because sometimes you could mm-hmm. do the bare minimum. Because some guys, all they care about is box and you cooking for me and you being there when I need you. And that's all they need. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so they could be filling those boxes and you have no other idea that they fucking everybody else or with everybody mm-hmm. else. You know?
Oh, you cannot care.
That too.
I'm sorry, TJ, you complete?
I'm complete.
You know what? I just realized. What I just realized is that, you know, there's some things that are isolated to just women, right? For guys, as far as, you know, fuck girls or fuck guys. Now, some guys end up in a situation when they're in a relationship with a woman who basically just accepted them, like, you know what I'm saying? Oh. Like, they were the safe choice. I'm just gonna go with this dude because he's the safe choice. And you have to learn mm-hmm. to pick up on that, because she's not really feeling you. She didn't really choose you. She just accepted you. Mm-hmm. She just settled for you. You feel mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Ooh, the word, you know, settle, I mean? Is different than, you know, the safe choice, because I like safe choice.
Because women do that. Women do that.
Okay. That's the same thing, no? The safe choice? Isn't the safe choice the same thing as settling?
No.
Yeah.
Well, safe.
There's a better option and then there's a safe choice. Isn't it the same thing?
Well, safe choice is a person that you feel safe with, like you feel secure mm-hmm. with. That's how I'm kind of looking at it, as a safe.
When I think of safe choice, I think uh-huh. of percentage. Like, this is the likelihood that this will be successful. Oh, this is a safe person. This is safe. Like, uh-huh. like, this okay. is a uh-huh. safe journey. Like, when I get with this person, I know I'm be taken care of. This is safe. Versus mm-hmm. someone who doesn't have I don't know. Shake your head. Finish.
I'm gonna give you an example. The movie Casino. A lot of people have seen that right there, right? I can't remember who played the female character, but she was in love. She was in love with this pimp. She was in love with the guy who used to pimp her. You know what I'm saying? But she ended up going with the casino owner because he was the safe choice. Like, she wasn't in love with him. She wasn't feeling him at all. Mm-hmm. She still was in love with this guy. She was still in love with this guy that used to take her down all the time. Matter of fact, he could barely get her away from this guy. But she settled for him because, you know what? He had the money. He had the future. You know what I'm saying? It was the safe choice. You know what I'm saying? She settled because that's who she, because she felt like it was time for her to settle for whatever reason. Her decision was, she felt it was time for her to settle. But sometimes, you know, that woman, she may still be in love with that other guy. And, you know, you can feel that shit sometimes. And it's hard to change a woman's mind because a lot of times they're attached to the person emotionally. And it's like I said, she settled for you. And then you have to kind of understand that, feel that, and decide whether you still want to be in this type of relationship.
You know, it came to mind because you said that. I don't know if we talked about this or not, but I just want to throw this out real quick. If your partner, if your partner's ex passed away, how long do you allow them to grieve?
I mean, you can't.
Question at all. You can't. Yeah. I think that's kind of silly. I think, you know, a lot of our exes, for me specifically,
let me rephrase it. How long do you allow them to grieve before you start getting concerned?
Okay. I think for myself, I don't feel like there should be a time frame on it.
Okay.
And the reason why I say this is because when I love hard. And a lot of my partners are usually my best friends. And so when we break up, it's like, oh my God, I feel like I lost a best friend on top of this intimacy that we shared, right? And I have been able to rekindle friendships with my exes. It doesn't happen right away, right after the breakup. But after some time, I understand that they know me and they really love me and I really want the best for them and they are my friends. So if my friend were to pass away, God forbid, you know, I may mourn. And I don't know that there should be a time frame on it. And if I'm with a secure partner, they know that there's nothing for them to be worried about because that person's even deceased. What are they worried about? It? Even if I'm, you know, grieving for 2 years, 3 years,
you know,
it doesn't,
you know why?
It sounds crazy. I actually had a friend that was, and this is very difficult. And this is a real situation because we're all getting older. She was dating a guy that his wife died of cancer and he had a baby with this wife. And, you know, he still had pictures of the wife all over the house. And it was very difficult for her. She was like, yo, how long is it going to take for you to get over this ex-wife? Like, I'm in this house now and I got to see this bitch picture everywhere in the house. But he was, you know, it was a part of his grieving and a part of him wanting to make sure that the child still knew that they had a mother. You know what I'm saying? So she had to like let that go. She actually went to therapy to work on that. And they all went to therapy together so that he could work on how to cope with it as well. So she knew that he was never going to get this wife back. She was deceased, you know, and it was for her to like create a relationship with the kid and to create this new relationship with even her family, because her family is still very present in the life. So no, I don't think there should be a time frame on it, but I think that it should be a discussion, you know, and my partner should be mature enough to know that like this person's not coming back. Why are you concerned about it? Like, you get to just support me through my grieving process. This is how I feel.
Okay.
Nothing to be insecure about, in my opinion. I'm complete.
Mo?
It depends on, so number one, it depends on the type of relationship that I have with that particular ex. If I'm still cool with the ex, it may take some time.
Not you. Your partner.
Where?
Your partner. Ex
right
dies.
Wait, my How partner's ex dies.
Yes, your partner's ex dies.
Somebody, right.
Okay, okay.
And he's grieving.
Okay,
and he's grieving. How long do you allow him to grieve before you start getting concerned?
Well,
same thing. It depends on the type of relationship that they've had. If my ex had a spouse and they have children together, completely different from somebody that doesn't have children, that didn't have children.
Okay, let's say they didn't have children.
I can't say. I mean, maybe a month, a couple of weeks. I don't know. And then let's say it is a month, a couple of weeks. That's fine. But let's say it's a year later and something, I'm just giving an example. Something comes on TV, which reminds them of that person and it kind of puts them back, you know, like, oh, wow. Like, you know, kind of triggers them to have that moment. I have to allow that moment. I cannot say how long. I can't expect you to mourn every single day for a year. Cause then I'll really be concerned. Now I was like, okay, now you got to go to some kind of therapy.
So here's my thing, Mo. Uh-huh. When I say grieving, I mean you balling every morning. Like he's making a bowl of cereal, right. And he's been balling. Like how long do you allow him to be waking up this sad and depressed before you like, yo, bro, what's up?
Like if it's like every day for a month, I'm gonna check in. Like what's coming up for you? Like, do you feel like you're like it, like you know, I need to check in because now I'm concerned. I am a little concerned. Like what's going? Like what are you feeling? Do you feel like you need to see therapy? Like it's like because you know like and he may and you know maybe he needs to talk it out. But it's very hard to answer this question because people grieve differently. Some people,
but not
you know 100%. Don't yeah. 100%. So it's very hard to Jake, really answer this question.
This question is hard because. Mm-hmm. A lot of times women refuse to admit that when their man is crying and shit, that they think that they in their minds, like he's a bitch ass nigga. And here's the thing, right? And because they're all women, there's a lot of women think like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you a man. Yo, shake that shit off. Stop fucking crying. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times women want to say that to men because it's unnatural. For the man to be walking around crying. You think women don't think that? You wild, son. They think that a lot. And they don't like to say that they think it, but they do. No. You know what I'm saying? When a dude is crying or crazy.
Let him finish.
Well, with a woman.
Let him cook. Let him cook.
No. I was going to agree with him to a certain extent. That's why.
Women get tired. Like, yo, bro, shut the fuck up. You a guy. Like, stop crying. You know what I'm saying?
So, Shake, answer the question. How long would you allow your partner before you start getting concerned?
As a woman, son, it's different. They're more in touch with their emotions. And as a man, I need to be more sensitive to that. And I feel like if they're bowling every day,
every morning, when she gets ready to put her makeup on, she got to put it on twice because she's crying in the mirror and shit.
I think this takes me back to the quotable, you know, don't try to fix her emotions. Okay.
Okay.
And to try to be as gentle with her as possible, as far as she may need to talk to somebody. I feel like it would be something I would be saying on week two. That maybe you should talk to like a grief counselor, you know, maybe you should do something about it. You know what I mean? Like and it's not like, yo, stop with the crying, man. You can't handle them like that. And you can't tell them to just stop being emotional because this is what they live in. This is the femininity that they have. And this is what you love as a man, their feminism. But at the same time, to try to help them, you can nudge them in the right direction. You can't just come at them harshly and say stop, right? Because that doesn't work.
Flash, what's your
fuckboy gets it try.
So now I'm gonna let y'all know. She got about a month of continual crying for me. That's about it. Just a month.
1 month.
Because and I'm talking about like really mourning, not wanting to just have a memory and know how good of a memory. I'm talking about continual crying. I gotta keep handing you tissue boxes. You sitting watching all these damn love movies and shit and all this other shit. And I'm sitting here like at peace with it, knowing that, yes, you lost somebody that was dear to you.
What if she cries while y'all having sex? Ooh, this is what I'm saying.
That's a violation.
Because this is where it's going to become a problem now. Because guess what? Everything going to remind you of the nigga. Everything going to remind you of the nigga now. We on the like Ferris wheel. We at the top. Oh, yeah, Jason, we used to be at the top. No, bitch, no. So you see, after a month, I don't want to hear the... We don't have to discuss the man name, okay? This is what I'm saying. And if you got to mourn in peace, but don't be sitting there cutting the onions and Jason used to cut onions. Because guess what? If I start doing that shit, you're going to know she was my head monster. This is who my unicorn was. Mm-hmm. Every time I do some shit, I tell you about fucking Marithra, whatever the fuck her name is. I don't even know. Like, you're going to know she was real special. Nigga, fuck out of here. You got a month.
Yeah, pack them tears up. That's it.
Yeah, nah, I agree. Because if I'm crying like that, she was special.
She was your headmaster, bro.
That's crazy.
Not for nothing. This was the whole Erica Mena and Spice issue. You know, Erica Mena saw how Safari was crying when he found out that Spice, you know, was really sick and in the hospital. And she was like, nigga, I just had your kid. And I was in the hospital for months. And I almost lost the baby. I almost lost my life. And you wasn't even crying for me. You was out there checking for the next bitches. So what kind of relationship you had with Spice? You know what I'm saying?
Had to do that.
You know, I think, you know, when somebody is mourning like that, some people do ask those questions. Like, what kind of relationship did y'all have? You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all, you still in love with this bitch? You know what I mean?
My Metal Gear Solid would go off immediately after a week.
Have you ever grieved, though, Mash? Have you ever had someone that...
Hell yeah, I've lost people. I've lost a ton of people. I'm not even proud of this, that are close to me. But my antennas would go off a week. A week after, I'd be like, what? How special was this? Like, if, especially if it's somebody
that's too ephemeral.
No,
that's too ephemeral.
It's too short. I like that. That was good. All right. So in the hypothetical that I'm thinking of in my mind is that we together. I ain't never heard you talk about this person. You ain't. He ain't never been to no cookout. They ain't never been to no family gathering. No nothing before. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then this person passed, and then now you crying for like what?
What would you feel? So what would you do if this happened? You would question it, like, tell me exactly what you would tell your girl.
Context, because I think it's very important to know this varies depending on also how long you're in a relationship with your current partner. So in my mind,
so give the situation.
So I'm thinking
you 5 years in. You 5 years in. Let's just put it like that.
Five years in. Okay.
All right. 5 years in. Okay.
I'm five years in. Me and Shorty been together. Her ex that she never mentioned, I ain't never heard of, nobody never talk of, passed away.
Jason.
And now she's crying every morning because of Jason.
Nigga was a whole Power Ranger and shit.
I'd be like, yo, what's wrong? You know what I would do? I would try to coach her. I'd be like, you obviously going through something, but it would have to be a week because I couldn't do more than that. We living together? We staying together close like this after 5 years? Yeah, we living together. You got to see somebody after a week. Yo, we got to go see your grief counselor, like Shake said.
Okay.
Because, the way y'all describe it took about 2 months and, like, a year and some change. Like, that hypothetical got crazy once you mentioned the real-life instance with a homegirl who passed away had to move into a mother role. That's deep. That's deep. So they definitely need to see counseling for that. But in terms of this hypothetical, you got, like, a week. And then I'm gonna start asking questions like, how close were you? What did he?
I want to let you know. Sometimes grieving doesn't happen like that. You know, like you know, 2 months, something can trigger you, like Mo says, and you're back in that space. 100%. You know, maybe you hear the ice cream truck, and you're like, oh my god, I remember when he used to buy me ice creams from the little ice cream truck outside. You know, so that song just triggered you. Like, it's different things, and so I can't put a time frame on that, but. Whether it's healthy or not healthy is the question, and whether you're getting support for it. Because there's but so much I could do as your partner if I'm not like a grief counselor and I don't understand it and I'm starting to be offended by it. If I'm starting to be offended, like, why the fuck are you still crying over this nigga? Then that's an issue. You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to be offended. Make sure you get some support.
One of the realest things I ever heard, and it stuck with me, was there's no guidebook for grief. Right? Never. We all process grief.
There isn't.
We all have to go through it, and we all have to push through it, and we're all gonna do it in our own way, right?
Absolutely.
But go ahead, Flash.
I just wanted to make sure y'all know when I say grief, I think of continual crying. Like you are supporting your partner through this because you know this is a tough fucking time for them. So once again, ladies, y'all supporting your man past 2 weeks. Y'all in fight. Y'all 5 years in, and he wanna cry for more than 2 weeks every day. He needs tissue. How long are you supporting it?
You know, I would support him for the 2 weeks, but then I agree. Like I said, prior to that, after a certain amount of time, I'm going to say, listen, is there something else going? Like, do you need to go? You have to go to counseling at that part because it's something that I can't assist. It's something I can't assist you with. So it's something that needs to be broken down further. Need to peel back the layers to find out what else is this triggering something else, another underlying thing that's going on, you know? So that's why I think the counseling is very important at that
point. Because what came up for me to make me even think of this was when Shake was saying that if you was insecure, you would think that you was the safe choice. Hmm. In that instance, right. If your shorty was grieving after being with you for 5 years, and a hypothetical you just gave, being together for 5 years, you would think that there was a deeper connection in that relationship, and I wasn't the first choice, because clearly you really have a strong connection with whoever this man was. So that's what made me think of the hypothetical to lead to this question.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what was said, though, that you guys said as far as grieving differently, right? Grief does come to people differently. I remember listening to this one comedian who had said his mom passed away, and he didn't cry at all. Went through the funeral process. When she passed, she went through the funeral process, everything, right? One day, like a few months later, he was on the plane and he was heading home, and then something just triggered it, and the motherfucker started bawling on the plane. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll never see my mom again. And sometimes that's how grief hits. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It'll hit you unexpectedly. There's certain triggers that you don't expect to make that come up. Now, if like I said, if this is something where you're crying for longer than a week now, all right, now you need to see some sort of grief counselor. Now you need to try to, you know, figure it out, because you can't keep crying, Ben. You got to live life.
Right. I agree, Shake. And this it brings me back to a time I'll never forget it, when my grandfather died. They called on the phone. That whole time, my mother did not cry. I remember I called my mother, I said, "Mommy, come straight home." And I was waiting for her to cry. Like, this is her father. Like, when are you going to cry? When are you going to cry? But she didn't. But when we went to Jamaica, when we flew down there, and she went to the house, immediately, that's when she broke down. And I was like, okay, there it is. You know what I mean? So in the moment, she was okay. You know, she was processing, you know, doing the funeral arrangements. But when we got down there and we went to his actual house, I think that's when it really hit her, like, oh, shit, my father's not, you know what I mean? So I agree. And that's why it's so hard to determine when it's going to hit you, how it's going to hit you, how long you're going to be grieving for, you know? So, but I get it. And although you're trying to be supportive to your partner, it can be uncomfortable, right? Because like we said, then that person's not coming back. So, you know, you don't have a fear of them going back to the person, but it's also like, okay, you know, that's not going to happen, because that person is gone, unfortunately. You know, I'm just being real, that partner may feel some type of way, like, you know, wow, you know, so it's difficult. I see you and TJ.
I wanted just to say that the biggest red flag for me is how someone handles me while I'm going through something like grief. If you're not supportive, like, I was speaking to a partner, a person recently, and he was telling me how he was dating a girl while his mom was actually dying. And she had said something to him, like, because he was like going to the hospital and like grieving, like, oh my God, my mom didn't even recognize me when she saw me, because she was kind of like going through that dying process. And he went into the room and he was so hurt when the mom was like, "Who are you? Get out the room." He was so hurt, and he came back and told her, and she was just like, "You going back to the hospital again? You so upset about that?" Like, and when you're going through something like that and you're not supportive, that's a big red flag. So I started to question him. I was like, you know, what did you see in her? You know what I'm saying? Because that's actually allowed me to question you a little bit too. Like, you were dating someone that was that cold when your mom was dying? Like, well, you don't know what
you
was
know.
It?
You don't know till you know.
Yeah, but he said, you know, like, he was with her. He was like, you know, they had good sexual chemistry. She was cool and everything, but she just wasn't nurturing.
And the real question is, how long did he stay with her after? That's the real question.
He couldn't stay with her after that.
There we go.
And so I'm saying that's a big red flag. Yeah, that's a big red flag. You know, I'm dealing with my mother dying, and this is your response? Like, why are you dating, you know, a woman that is not nurturing and emotionally supportive? You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, and also maybe the situation, right, but maybe the situation didn't cause for that in their everyday, I'm just saying, relationship. But now when this came up, he got to see that side, because of what, you know, because he, when you're in it, he may not have noticed, okay, but now that this was going on, he was able to vividly see and be like, wow, this is my mother, you know? And you're not nurturing towards me for my mother? Yeah, I got to step back now. So that could have possibly happened as well.
Yeah, like I said, women do not admit as much as you think they do. They don't want niggas, they don't want their man to cry. And they want men to be men. And the reason why they're attracted to them is because of their masculinity. And the crying kind of throws them off. That throws off the attraction for them. And is it not because always. Is it no, yeah, I'm not saying always. Say I'm not saying all women, but there's a lot of women who refuse to admit this.
Wait, shake. Let's make it more practical. It's more feminine or attracted to masculine, right?
Exactly. So that's what I said.
No. You said women. More feminine women are attracted to masculine.
Attracted to your masculinity.
Right. So that's what I mean in terms of making the distinction. It less generalizes the group because in the book, they talk more about masculine and feminine energy.
Yeah.
And how those two things interact. Right.
No.
So I agree with you 100% in terms of that perspective.
But when I'm talking about women, I'm talking about women in general who refuse to admit, because one woman told me that and she said, I'm ashamed to admit this. And I never thought that this was something, but she said, I'm ashamed to admit this. But when he was crying when his aunt died. And after about a week, I was like, man, shut the fuck up. Like, cut that shit out. And I thought about it like, yo.
And how did you feel about that? What came up for you? Was it someone you were dating or someone that...
It was somebody I was dating it, and I understood it. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I get it. I get it. You know what I'm saying? So, why she would act like that. So, but it's
that
not
wasn't
that
a red
she's,
flag for you?
It's not that.
She
no,
heartless,
no, it's not.
Nigga. She heartless, bro. Yeah.
It's not that, that she's
a,
not
was that
nurturing.
A turn on for you? Was that a turn on for you?
And no, it just helped me understand women a little better sometimes.
But did you even feel comfortable crying with her?
Is that she never told him the shit, but this is how she felt. You know what I'm saying? This is how she felt. She internalized the shit. You know what I'm saying? But she said she's ashamed that she feels this way, but that's how she felt. And I understood it because before that point, I had already listened to the way of the superior man. And I understand feminine and masculine roles. And I understand why she felt that way. You know what I'm saying? And it's not that she's not nurturing, because she's like a very caring person. But it's just in that moment, it just was a turnoff for her because, you know, she's so used to him being the masculine one. She's so used to him taking care of her.
Did she drink Hennessy straight? She got a hair on her chest? Like what?
Nope.
And I want to know, because I know there's also levels.
There's a lot of women with hair on their chest and underneath the chin, too.
No, but I'm saying there's levels of feminine where I don't expect a woman who's being feminine to see her man crying as a threat, necessarily. I feel like that's...
Not a threat.
No, I mean like a threat to even like his masculinity.
A turn off. Oh, yeah, threat to... Yeah, I got you said.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it depends on how the man was crying, you know, like for me to judge it. But I would feel exactly like that girl felt, like, dang, you know, like, dang, I felt bad for like judging him. But I think it's also I play into what society, you know, does, you know, like society has made it so that men shouldn't be crying. And some part of me does believe that to a certain extent, like I know when I see a man crying, that it's gotta be something real serious. Cause I've only seen my uncle cry once. And when I see that shit, I'm nervous. I'm like, oh God, what happened? Cause I've never seen him cry, you know, but it was the death of his son, you know, like that's some serious shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I do want to support my man if he's crying, if he's going through, because a guy I'm talking to recently had said, I was on the phone with my dad and then I hung up and was on the phone with my mom. And he was like, oh my God, you got both parents still. And that shit hit me deep. He's like, I don't have either of my parents anymore. And I would kill just to hear my mother's voice just to say hello on the phone. And I'm just like, oh wow. You know, like, life is real and life is happening for everybody. So, you know, that's a part of him being vulnerable too. And also just expressing himself. And I'm just like, oh, wow. You know, so.
If the man is crying every day, if he's watching, you know, a movie and it's like, fam, you crying? You know what I mean? Like, we got to be real about that. But I think you know, in your mind, you're like giving him the side eye, like, you crying over this? But realistically, when they lose someone, I'm going to expect you to cry and not feel any way about it, because that's how you grieve. So I'm not going to judge you for crying, you know, when you lose someone. And I think that's part of our problem. Like, we need to get out of that, like, especially with judging a man because he's crying. You know what I mean? That we really do. Don't open up now or share their feelings.
Flash, I'm going to let you do your last point. I mean, I'm going to let you finish it, then I'm going to move on to the next talking point.
I was going to say, like, I don't mind crying. And sometimes it's not even that serious for me in terms of why I cry. Like, I'll cry when I'm meditating, I'll pray.
When's the last time you cried, Flash?
Like the tribe. Like last week. Like I know I had like a gratitude cry. It was like, yo, it was like I'm very thankful for certain shit in my life. So yes, I let a little stuff teardrop and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes I might dream of like a past hole or some shit. I wake up crying sometimes, just to be honest. I'm like, damn, like that happens. I might be stuck on just something from the past, and that's usually
why. Does your girl know that you do that? I'm listening to this episode.
Hell the fuck no. But no, it's just the fact that no, there's certain past memories where it's like, yeah, I think it's that's where a lot of my tears come from, if anything.
That's a soul especially
tie, by the way. And whatever you want to call it. I mean, but I do find good reasons, I think, where it's okay to cry. I'm not ashamed of it, you know, it's just natural.
Beautiful. Yeah. Right. I heard that shake. I heard what you said under your breath, bitch.
Huh?
What'd he say?
That's amazing.
He said you was a bitch ass.
Oh, because I cried about some, what? Because I cried? Like even when I cry on movies, I ain't gonna hold you. Like, but it's a thug cry though. Like, no, because I get what Shake is saying.
Show me how thugs cry, Flash. Show me how thugs cry.
I ain't gonna hold you, bro. That waking up from having a dream crying, that's crazy. I ain't never woke up from a dream and started crying. Like, oh my God.
Hold on.
Like, what type of tears we talk about? Like a single, like Indian side of road tear, or we talking like, ooh. So
my eyes swell up, and then when they drop, they just like get buried. You know, my beard just eat it up after, and then it's just gone.
Is it a continuous stream, or was it just two little?
Nah, it's one drop per 2 minutes. One drop per 2 minutes. You gotta let it swell up a little
for
bit.
For a total of 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's bullshit, bro. Ain't nobody never woke up in no fucking dream instead of crying over no box. That's crazy.
You let your woman see you, bro?
You wiped them shit quick.
No, but it's not that one. Like, the dream ones be like, they just on the side of your face and you're like, oh my gosh, like I was crying.
That's on the
screen. You said I'm capping?
So the last one that I wanted to touch on is super quick. Is actually in alignment with this topic that we haven't discussed right here. Another quotable is, she wants the killer in you. She wants the killer in you. Okay, that's this is the statement by the author.
What was the context? In what context did he use it?
What context? Yeah.
And this leads me back. You want him to explain the context right quick?
I mean, of course. Okay. Although your woman doesn't want you to be a killer, she is turned on by your capacity to kill.
Facts.
And she is turned off by your lack of this capacity. Now, are we doing burner cards or what are we doing here? Because y'all just jumping all into the answers.
Okay, right quick. Hold on.
Flash, you going to put a burner cards or you too cool?
He too cool for school. He crying over there.
I was about to drop another tip.
I know. Should have never said that shit, Flash. Look at you. He wake up in the morning crying. I wonder how old he was doing that.
Put your card up, bro. Yes. Okay. So is it yes across the board for the game?
So this right here, shake.
You excited? Okay, go first. Go.
I'm excited because this takes us back to our last subject, bro. This takes us back to the last subject. She wants you to be the man, or the feminine wants the masculine to be masculine. They want to be taken care of. They don't want to feel like they have to take care of you. They don't, and I don't mean that in a nurturing way. I mean that as far as they don't want to feel like they have to protect you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And if you're crying, how you gonna protect me if you're over here crying all the time? You know what I'm saying? I feel like if somebody comes to attack me or something, you gonna start boo-hooing, and that's the image she's gonna get of you. And I feel like that's how she feels. And I'm not saying that this is exactly what it is for all women, but I'm saying that, like, you have to understand that is, they're attracted to your masculinity and they expect you to be masculine. And that's what this quote is. That's what this quote means to me.
Facts. I co-sign that 100%. My two cents is, in my relationship, we have a rule in the crib. I kill all the bugs. All right, if there's a bug, I kill it. All right, that's my job. That's my role. If there's an intruder in this bitch, I'm murdering them. All right, that's what I do. That's my job as a man. My lady expects me to kill anything that come up in this motherfucker. And I 100% agree with the author. She want to be able to see that I'll clap a bug if you come up in this bitch. Spray, raid, slipper, whatever I got to do, I'm going to get the job done because that's my role.
I love it.
I'm complete.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Like, I don't want him to be an actual, I agree exactly with the statement, to be honest. I don't want him to be an actual killer. You know, like, I don't want him to be a murderer. However, if it's a life and death situation, nigga, I need you to be a killer because it's either us or them. And it's always going to be them, period. You know? Mm-hmm. And you do. You want to feel protected by your man. You want to feel safe with him. You know, that's how women are vulnerable more because you feel safe. You feel protected. I would definitely agree with the statement. I do. I agree with that. Like, you know, like we've all been saying, like you do want to feel protected and safe. And I expect my man to do that when necessary. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I definitely co-sign, especially when it comes to bug smash. Like my lady has a certain screech when a bug has been seen, or even if there's like a shadow that was, you know, that came from anywhere or whatever the case is, it could be a piece of anything. And when you hear that crack, nigga, I can't. There's no thinking
what's
about
up?
It.
What happened? Where's that? That?
Run to the screen. Run to the screen.
You know, I'm coming down, slipping in hand. You're just show me where it's at. I'm gonna get it. Oh, you trying to hide? Okay, then I gotta put in work now because now I gotta go under. I gotta go find the spray. You know what I'm saying? I gotta go summon the nigga out and shit. And you know, and sometimes it's like I gotta defuse the situation. I gotta be like, stand back. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to do killer shit. You know, you got to prepare for the amount of masculine energy I'm about to let off and shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I think that it is one of those things that lets or reassures a woman that this man is here to protect me. And that goes back to my previous shit about, nigga, you might have to die for this bitch. Because what if she get a yell and it's a fucking alien down there or some shit now? You know what I'm saying? And I still got to go to war. I got to go to war. Whatever the fuck warranted that yell. It don't matter if it's if it's an intruder, if it's a bug. Nigga, it could just be the smell of something. I got to activate.
The Bruce Wayne scenario you gave earlier is perfect. That's the perfect that's the perfect scenario because I don't want my kid or my woman to have to protect us. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a masculine man, I want to be the one who keeps us safe. I mean, shit, I may not want to, but I got to. Like, shit, maybe a fucked up. Because I think about, so I think about instances when I seen like post-apocalyptic movies, right? And I seen men run out on their families when they get eaten up. I'm like, damn, that's heartbroken. Like, they family get eaten up. He didn't bounce and left him. I'm like, damn, how you live with yourself after that? You know, like, how can you? Go ahead.
I'll tell you how. This is the only
survival of the fittest, nigga.
If your bitch is a UFC fighter, you damn right I'm gonna take my kid up. Baby, you got this. And I'm out.
As you should.
I'm running with the baby.
As you should. And she be like, I'll catch up to you. And then she come and she at the boat before you even get to the boat. You know what I'm saying?
That is hilarious.
She gonna get bit the fuck up.
Understanding your strength is the first skill. That's the first skill. Understanding your strength.
Chances are I've seen her knock enough niggas out for me to feel calm. I've seen her knock enough niggas out. I'm comfortable. You got it, baby.
So, Matt, so Flash, in that instance right there, your woman is the masculine and you're the feminine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know,
it's
kind of an alternating balance right there. And, you know, as a feminine person, you're still expecting the masculine to take care of this.
You know what that means? I got to keep my voice down in the house now. I can't even get loud on my chick. What'd you say? Now I'm in a figure four.
You pee with the seat down, nigga. Seat down, nigga. Don't question me.
Nigga's locked up, nigga. What the fuck nigga?
You know,
you
from
no
a female...
longer... Oh, go ahead.
From my perspective, you know, from a female that dates both, you know, I really do enjoy someone that has strength, you know, because I do want to feel protected. I think we all want to feel protected in some way. And protection is not always just the brawn. Protection could also be, you know, she's good with her mouth. Like she could get us out of any situation. You know what I'm saying? And I've said this before, like when the cops come and stop us, sometimes I look less, you know, I don't know, what's the word that I'm looking for? But sometimes when they see a black man, they be ready to just come for the black man. So they see less, what's the word that I'm looking for, guys? And I know when I listen to the episode, I'm going to be like, that's the word I needed. Threatened. Yeah, I look less threatening.
I was going to say aggressive. Okay.
Yeah, less threatening to a cop, right? So sometimes like I could kind of try to handle this. Like, hey, sir, I'm sorry. I don't understand what the problem is. As opposed to seeing a big black man next to me, you know?
As
so
a man,
I feel
I would
like,
never want you to do that for me.
I know. I've heard this. I've heard this before, too.
I would never
too.
Want you to step in and handle that type of altercation. Mm-hmm. It's like Bruce Wayne in the alley. Again, chill. I got this. I got this.
What if the cops are just roughing you up? What if they just rough you up?
That's different.
You don't want me to say anything?
On the intro, if you're in a passenger seat and I'm driving a car, and as soon as they get to the window, you like, why'd you pull us over, officer? Like, you hanging out of my side?
No, I wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying, like, if he gets out of control and I feel like you have a way with words, like, why not? You know what I'm saying? I feel like there's ways that you can protect your person. It doesn't have to always be in a brawn way, in a physical way.
Absolutely.
But I've also, I wanted to share... Yeah, I feel like de-escalating is always key, right? I remember, this is a story, hilarious. I was in Jamaica with my ex-boyfriend, and he's tall, 6-something, right? And there was a lizard in the room. And I could tell that he felt like it was his role, like Mash said, to kill the bug, you know, Flash said. But this nigga's hand was shaking while he was when he saw the lizard on the roof. And he was trying to get it. And you know he really wasn't trying to get it. He was like, it just slipped. I'm like, nigga, you got butterfingers. You wasn't even trying to get it. Because, you know, he was scared too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, that exists as well. Like, they know that they have to fit that role. But they'd be nervous too, you know? Yeah. But the truth is, I do want someone that has the killer in them. Because I want to feel protected, even if it's by another woman. And I want to protect people too in my own way, you know? So, but yes, I do. There's something very special about, like, my man got this, like, and can't nobody fuck with me. Like, you know, like, say whatever you want, Tiff, because I know you speak up. Say whatever you want. I got you. Can't nobody say shit to you. I got you. I love that shit. Like, I love that, you know? So, and then I've been with men that also, you know, just did not have that in them. And it was a turnoff. I remember sharing this with you guys. It was my ex-husband. We were in Jamaica and we got, he had left his phone on the thing. And then they pretty much hustled him to get his phone back. Talking about they found it in the water. And I was just like, yo, we just got punked, you know, in my own damn country. Like, and they saw you looking soft and that's why they came for you. And just for him to be like, oh, thank you guys. Here's $100. It was just like, dang, we really just got punked. I felt bad about it. It was something that really did affect me, you know, like we're seen as weak because he's supposed to be my protector.
Yeah. I wanted to use like another movie example. I don't know if you guys remember the movie Crash, right? There was a movie called Crash where they get pulled over by the police and dude takes him out of the car and he's filling up. He's definitely filling up the dude's wife. And when he didn't say anything about it, he's like, you know what I'm saying? And she's just upset about it. When they get home, right? She's upset with this dude because he never said nothing to the cop. You didn't say anything. You just let him do what he wanted. And in this way, this is how women feel unprotected. When you don't say anything, when you don't take that role as a man, when you don't show that killer instinct, you know what I'm saying? You allowed that shit to happen. You didn't even jump in. You didn't say nothing, even though it was the smartest thing to do. So you didn't get shot or whatever. She still respected more if you actually jumped in and said something. You feel what I'm saying? So that's what I think of when I hear this. When I see this quote right here, she wants to kill in you.
Yeah, Crash was crazy. That was a really good fucking movie.
Yeah.
That was a really good movie. I forgot all about that movie. Yeah. We can put that on the SR pick, gang. Tribe, check out Crash. That was a good movie. But yeah, those are the quotable questions that I have for you guys.
Okay. Lock it up.
Yes.
Who's the winner of Word of the Week?
I think
TJ. I want to thank all the haters, you know, and I want to thank my sophisticated ratchet tribe out there. I know y'all was rooting for me. I challenge you to, you know, expand your vocabulary and listen to Shake's Word of the Week. And thank you for listening.
Flash?
Yeah.
What you want? Oh.
Whenever you go, we go, Tribe.
We're with you.
All right, Tribe. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Sophisticatedly Ratchet Podcast. I hope this sparked your interest in listening to or reading the book, The Way of the Superior Man. It's for women and it's for men, okay? check us out. Every Wednesday, we drop new episodes. And if you like what you heard, hit the like button right now. Hit the follow button right now. Hit the subscribe button right now. Right now, right now. We're waiting for you. Hit the button right now. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for hitting the button, Tri. You can hear us everywhere you hear podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon has podcasts. And you can even ask Alexa to play the Sophisticatedly Ratchet Podcast. That's and she'll play the most recent episode for you if that's what you want to hear. But we have over 160 episodes. Pick or choose whatever you want to hear. Then go on to our social media. We're on IG at So Ratchet Podcast. We're on TikTok at So Ratchet Podcast. We're on Twitter at So Ratchet Pod. On YouTube, every episode has a visual. So if you're listening to us on all the platforms, you can watch us on YouTube at So Ratchet Space Podcast. And we go live every first Wednesday of the month. If you missed that last Wednesday, the first Wednesday of next month is your turn to get in contact with us. We love connecting with you live. It's just a great opportunity for us to just hear from you. We love you. Share us with a friend. And yeah, see you next Wednesday, Tribe.
All right. Thank you for that, TJ.
Yeah,
of course.
Thank you.
Thank you for not saying the Lexa word. Yo, how do you say that in that language y'all speak?
As
Alec. Yeah, that's right, Monique.
As
Lalak.
Oh, you talking about pig Latin fool?
As
Lalak. Yeah.
Eggs lock.
To a pig lock.
Yep. Eggs lock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Eggs lock. Gotcha. Eggs lock.
And we don't want nobody figuring out our language. How old were we created this language? We had to be like 9.
I think we was in junior high school. I feel like we was in junior high school. Were we in junior high?
Like 6th grade?
Maybe 6.
So that's 12.
Junior high. All right. So say goodbye to the tribe in your language.
Balak. Yalak.
Os. No. Oh, Galak.
Oh, you're saying goodbye. I just said bye. Okay.
Yeah, he said goodbye. Yeah, I'm saying goodbye.
So say goodbye.
And Balak, Yalak, Ez. Goodbye. I said it.
Okay.
Bye. You're going to need Duolingo for this shit.
Nope, can't figure it out. Nobody can figure it out.
Sound like you're from the Jets. We out. Come on.
Deuces. Bye, Tribe.
Deuces.
Thanks for listening to the Sophisticatedly Ratchet Podcast. Let us know your thoughts on the episode. Do you agree? Disagree? Tell us how you really feel. You can email us at soratchetpodcast@gmail.com. We release a new episode every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast from. We also go live on YouTube the first Wednesdays of each month. Please be sure to subscribe and follow us on IG, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. Go to the srpodcast.com to link to all our social media platforms. Don't forget to like and share our episodes with your fellow sophisticatedly ratchet friends. See y'all next Wednesday.